Praise the Lord Jesus. This Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for this day. And we're grateful for this great and awesome story we're going to be able to tell the next few days. We ask you to bless everybody's heart with it. Lord, and if anybody wants this story, all they need to do is contact us via our website or by telephone, and we'll be happy to send them the entire story. Father, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We really need to learn who we are in Christ. And when you learn who you are in Christ, you will do great things and mighty things, and you will become a different person when you learn who you are in Christ.
We don't believe the Word of God because if you really believe this book and you studied this book, we would be doing different things than what we're doing today. It's amazing what the Lord does when you really get to where you believe it. So let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, Lord, I once again want to tell you how much I love you, how much I worship you, how much I praise you, and Lord, how thankful I am for the privilege to share the things you have revealed to me one more time with your people, your bride, of which I am a part. I am a living stone in this living temple that you've built, that you're building here on this earth. And what a privilege it is to share the truths of the Word of God that you have revealed to me with men and women. And Lord, today I ask you to give these that come more revelation on your Word than they have had before. I ask you to open their understanding, their hearts, so that they will learn more about who they are and what they can do in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Satan, I rebuke you and I command you to leave this place, and every demonic spirit that come in here right now, I command every demonic spirit to leave this place, and not one single demon steal one single word out of a single person's heart or their mind in this place today in the name of Jesus. Now, I worship you and praise you and thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to be the substitute for me. And for this season, Lord, that we are entering into right now, that we entered into the beginning of this week, the magnificent events that was going on in hell approximately 2,000 years ago, as Jesus' human spirit lay in the lowest hell, paying the price for me and for each one of these people that's here today, so your wrath would not come upon us. We worship you and we praise you and we thank you for that. We're so grateful, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, I realize that as we think about this season that we call, or at least so many people do, call Easter, I don't even like for that term to be on my lips. I like to call it the Feast of First Fruits, because that's what the Word of God calls it, the Feast of First Fruits. You know, it's amazing how this, I studied the Word of God as a Sunday school teacher and everything. I remember one night I was preparing to teach a Sunday lesson on Easter, and I was going back and doing some research, and as I was going back and doing my research and everything, I just came upon something, and I thought, wonder what that means when it says that at this particular time of day, that at between the oblations of the evening, these things happened. And I thought, wonder what does all that mean? You know, you read these things and you don't know what they mean. And so you go back and you start researching the scriptures. And as I went back and began to read all those things, and I began to get a little bit of information on what the Lord had told the high priest to do whenever they come out of the Passover, when they came through the Passover, and how they were supposed to do it, and what time of day they were supposed to kill the lamb, and what he was supposed to say, and everything. And as I began to put these in a parallel with what Jesus was doing, I thought, what a coincidence. Really, right? What a coincidence that Jesus did all those same things at exactly the same time and said the same things. I thought, what a coincidence. Let me tell you, there was no coincidence. It was planned like that before the foundations of the world that he would become our Passover lamb. But I had so little knowledge in that realm. I really didn't know what he was doing. And I remember when I was a little 11-year-old boy in a little church, in a little country church in a little country town of Cross Plains, Texas, that night when I came under conviction and I walked down that aisle and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I didn't have a clue what it meant to receive eternal life. I mean, I didn't have a clue. I knew I was saved. I didn't even know what I was saved from. You know, I didn't have any idea of the power that had just been put upon me. I had no knowledge of who I was in Christ. But as a young man, as I continued to read a little, you know, go to church, the beautiful part about my life that I'm so grateful that when I go back and check the ancestry of my family on both sides, my mother's family was wonderful Christian people. They loved God. There was no drunks, no drug addicts, and a handful of preachers. And my daddy's side, this last year I got with my aunt, which is 80-something years old, and we went back all the way to the 1600s in her family line, my dad's side, and I couldn't believe how many preachers they was in the family line. And I'm going to tell you that my mother and father got married when my mother was 20 and my dad was 21 years old, and they lived together, and four children was born out of those next few years, of which only two of us still are alive. Mother and dad were married 55 years, never had any problems, at least not that I knew of. I'm going to tell you that as a young boy being raised up in a good Christian home, I never heard my daddy speak a word of profanity in his life. I never heard my daddy say anything above a normal tone of voice to my mother. I never heard my mother or my father raise their voice to any of us kids. Isn't that awesome? That's right. But I was raised up in a wonderful home, of which I thought everybody in the world lived like we did. I mean, you know, when I graduated from high school, there was a little class of 25 people, and every one of those boys and girls had the same mother and father. You know, same one. You know, we lived in a little tiny town of about 1,000 people, and people there were pretty much Christian. You know, we walked with God. The thing to do is go to church on Sunday. The normal thing to do during the week is we worked, we loved one another, people didn't run around and drink and cheat and cuss and raise cans. Well, there was a few of those kind of people, but I wasn't associated with those kind of people. So I just thought the whole world was just a great place to live. You know, I mean, I had the most perfect life at home you can imagine. And so I grew up in a home that it was easy for me to know what the love of the Father is because I had a father that would love me. I had a mother that loved me just unconditionally, such a great woman. I mean, my mother, when my mother died at 83 years of age in that little town she was raised up in, the First Baptist Church of Goldsboro, Texas, which is about three or four times this size, you couldn't seat the people that came to her funeral. That'll tell you something, don't it? That woman loved people. She ministered to people. She never spoke an evil word about anybody. Never. So that's what I was raised up in. That's why it's so easy for me to believe God's Word. That's why it's so easy for me whenever I read something in God's Word. If my daddy, which was a man, told me he was going to do something for me, he always done it. Not sometimes. That's like one night I remember I'd been out when I got to be 15, 16 years old or something. I'd got me a little car. I remember it was a little 39 Ford coupe. And I had run a universal joint in that thing. It wore out and I pulled the rear end out from under that thing and I put a new U-joint in it, and I was trying to get it to stab in there, and I could not get that thing, that whole mess. I was a young person trying to learn how to be a mechanic, and I worked on it till 8 or 9 o'clock that night, and I was wore out, and I finally told Mother, I said, Mom, when Dad comes in, he's still out driving his bulldozers and changing brush and everything. He's working hard today and running his service stations and everything else. So I'd already gone to bed before Dad come in that night. It must have been 11 o'clock when he come in. I told Mama, I said, whatever you do, wake me up, have Dad wake me up in the morning. I got to have him stab that rear end on that little car so I can fix that tomorrow so I can use it. She said, okay, I'll tell him. Well, the next morning, I got up, time to go to school, and I said, Mom, why didn't you wake me up? She said, well, I told Dad. And he said, he just let you sleep and said he knew you needed your sleep. I said, but Mom, I needed my car fixed. She said, well, I don't. He walked by out there and looked at it and said he was out there about 5 minutes, said he got in his truck and drove off. I said, oh, Mom, I can't believe it. He didn't wake me up. I go out there and look at the car, and it's stuck in, two bolts in it, ready to go. All I got to do is finish it. That's the kind of dad I was raised up with. You know, so whenever you're raised up with a dad like that, a dad that loves you, a dad will give you anything he's got, help you do anything, anytime, and a mother the same way. When you grow up, when you open this magnificent book we call the Word of God, and you realize that He's my Father. He loves me much more than my earthly dad does. And if my earthly dad told me he would do things and he'd never fail me, and if God made me these promises, I couldn't understand why the church didn't believe these promises. I mean, as I begin to read the Word of God and go to church every Sunday, I begin to see things in this book. I thought, why don't we teach these things in church? Why is it we just hit a few little places in this book? I don't understand this. And so, I mean, I became a Sunday school teacher. I mean, of course, you know, to start off with, after I got back from Vietnam, I graduated from high school, but I went in business for myself. And then Uncle Sam called me, and I had to go to the war. So I was turned out to be in the military 4 years. And I came back from Vietnam in 1965. And so I decided to go back to school. So I went back to school and a few years graduated, and then came back and started teaching engineering in Dallas to a group of engineers. Well, I had learned a lot of things. And then, of course, my wife and I were going to church there at Lakeland Baptist Church in Louisville. And a man, the church administrator, came to me and he said, Thurman, I've been praying for an adult teacher, and your name keeps coming up. I said, no, I understand that God's not supposed to make mistakes. And he said, well, no, he don't. Why? I said, well, if he wants me to teach a Sunday school class, he made a mistake. I said, I can't do that. He said, well, but your name keeps coming up. So he said, why don't you go home and pray about this? So I went home and I said, Lord, I can't teach a Sunday school class. I said, Lord, I can take this book and teach engineering. Now, these formulas and things don't bother me. But, Lord, I mean, if I make a mistake in aeronautical engineering, I might cost a few people their life in an airplane. But if I make a mistake in this Bible, this could cost somebody's eternity. And I got to realize, well, if I don't do it, if somebody else is doing it, it's going to cost them their eternity anyway.
Now, we'll start right there tomorrow with the continuation of this story. But if you'd like to have this entire story, which we will continue on with this week, we'll be happy to send it to you. All you need to do is contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And we'd be happy to send you the Caitlin story in its entirety on audio, video, or whatever. Or if you would call us at 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. And also, we have many other teachings on the web. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid if you'll just contact us. Praise the Lord Jesus. And remember, Jesus is Lord.